I think everyone can relate to occasionally needing time away from the distractions that come with life.
I can relate to that.
Bad distractions like watching too much TV. I don't even know what your distraction is.
I know you're thinking too much football. Oh, I get it.
Or even a good distraction. What would that be?
Too much football. That's what you get.
And you don't have to raise your hand if that's going on with you. But how many of you have skipped time with God because you were too busy? When was the last time you married couples did something just the two of you for more than the occasional date night?
Well, let me tell you this. Now through Cyber Monday, Weekend to Remember gift cards are 50% off.
That's amazing.
Did you hear me? 50% off. It's a weekend where you get to focus entirely on your marriage. No distractions, just time to reconnect, to laugh, and to grow together. And it's not just a weekend away. It's an investment in your relationship that you'll carry with you long after. We've been speakers at the Weekend to Remember for 35 years, and we've seen so much transformation.
Yes.
I literally can't tell you the number of people who come up and ripped up their divorce papers. It's that kind of weekend. God shows up. Yeah. You show up and God does the rest, and you can have a new marriage by Sunday.
And if you're looking for something truly meaningful this year, gift a Weekend to Remember gift card.
Just go to familylifetoday.com and you can order your gift card there.
Just thought, you know, like you got one love story. That's it. Like there's no way I could love anybody like I loved Amanda. But I was praying, God, if you were to ever bring me another wife, I was 30, so I figured I'd probably get married again. So can I make some requests? Could she love you more than she loves me? Could she love me too? That'd be great. And then love Weston as if he were her own and love Amanda.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Ann Wilson.
And I'm Dave Wilson, and you can find us at familylifetoday.com. This is Family Life Today. Today we'll be talking again with Davey and Christy Blackburn, and just so you know the backstory, Davey came back from the gym and found his wife murdered, and she was pregnant. And so that's the backstory. He's now married to Christy, and it's an amazing story of God's grace and how he doesn't waste anything. So let's get to that conversation.
Every single one of us, our story is a story of brokenness. And we get to see how God picks up the pieces and restores us. And he gets the glory that's so beautiful, and it's for our good.
The gospel.
It's
beautiful.
It's a beautiful story. And I got to see this. I get a front row seat to see it live out in him. And so it is a beautiful thing. And it's very hard every single time I hear it.
Mm. And you have your own journey.
Take us back there.
Yeah, I mean, were you aware of this story before?
Yeah, so I didn't meet them. They were church planters. I actually helped some friends plant a church at the same time. And those friends that I was really close with were close with them.
Really?
So they were the ones who texted me when it actually happened, the morning it happened. And then a part of that group, again, another friend was the PA that went in, saw them in the hospital.
I bet you guys were all praying for them.
Praying like crazy. And I don't watch the news because I'm like happy-go-lucky. News is just always like everyone's dying and everyone's hurting. And I'm like, I don't want to see that. That's too much pain in the world.
I'm with you.
Yes. But I happened to be at school. Like I was taking a break from college. I went to my parents' house and they always play the news. And I passed Good Morning America. Of course they do. And I'm Good Morning America. And I actually see that interview that he's talking about.
You saw him.
I saw the interview.
Were you on Good Morning America like pretty soon after?
Pretty soon.
Yeah. Wow.
Pretty
That's
soon.
Quick.
And I heard like the way the interview was trying to go, the guy was trying to get like him to get some kind of emotion. And it made me so mad to hear him say that question about, you know, your son's going to have to grow up without a mom. Like, I felt like he was just pushing it because he just kept on sharing the gospel of Jesus. And this guy was just trying to get something else out of him.
And your fierce side flared up?
I was angry. I was like, don't you dare do that to this man. He is grieving. Don't try to get some kind of rise out of him. So I just felt this injustice for him. So my stepdad is a chaplain in the Marion County Jail. So he goes and he shares with, again, people who do the worst things imaginable. And we are one stupid step away from being just like all of them that are in jail. Yeah. And I think sometimes we need to level the playing field, right? Yeah. And so he sees the people who've been on trial for murder, for rape, for all the things that we can think of, right? Mm-hmm. And he goes evangelizes to them and shares the gospel with them because he believes in restoration for every person, right? And so he was actually going and visiting the three men that were involved in the murder.
Did he know it was those three?
He did. And he came back to me and he said, Christy, I would really love for you to reach out to him, to Davey, and to let him know that I'm having conversations with them. And I said, I can't. Please don't have me get involved that way. I cannot let, like, they're like, you have contacts that can get a hold of him. I'm like, yes, but please don't make me do that. So I waited and I didn't. And, you know, so again, going back to Stephen, like rewind, the part of my story, I was a pastor's kid and I felt like I lived in this, like, you know, I call it a fishbowl, mm-hmm. where everyone had an opinion on your life. Everyone saw your life, but they didn't really know you. And then I also called it the hell bubble in a way, yeah. because we lived in the parsonage in the middle of a town of 600 people. And we would go out and in public, we would just look like this picture perfect family, but we would go back in the house and there was just a lot of abuse that went on. Yeah. And so being in that abuse and experiencing that abuse, it was just so difficult to like differentiate like who's God and who's my dad and what's a good father versus like I knew the wrath of God, right? You know, I could experience the wrath of God, but to actually like respect God and understand him as a loving, gentle father, that was never on the picture for me. And so, you know, fast forward, I'm in my 20s, I'm in college and I'm hiding for my life, like in fear that my life is going to be taken by a family member. And, you know, fast forward a little bit, I get assaulted with a group of guys just walking down for my purse. And fast forward a little bit more, you know, I'm in a house fire in the middle of the night. Fast forward more, I'm, you know, and getting robbed in the middle of the night. Like every single year it felt like trauma, yeah,
trauma after trauma.
And so I realized then, I'm like, again, you're young when you're experiencing abuse, so you don't have the emotional intelligence to process emotions, right?
Or even know what's normal and what's not.
Right. That.
Especially when it's been a part of your life.
A whole part of my life. And that's what I was used to. I was used to, you don't get good things and God's really not that good. So like life, what you have to do is you have to be perfect so you can go to heaven, be the perfect girl, be the perfect Christian. So I just learned like, I'm going to put this massive armor up. I'm going to protect myself at all costs from every single person. And I just have to just do the right thing, right? Well, God just totally just like smashed that and broke that to pieces. He really wanted a strong relationship with me and I was at arm's length with him. And so it's just beautiful to know what Jesus really did on the cross. So for me, I was like, I can't keep up the facade. You know, so I just started every sex, drugs, rock and roll, whatever you can think of. I was like, I can't do it.
It was rap for you then.
It was rap, not rock and roll.
That's even worse.
She's too young for rock and roll.
Yes, yes. But anything that I could cope or numb with, right? Like my life sucked. If we're just going to put a word to it, it was a hard life growing up like that. None of my friends knew. I covered up from everybody because I lived in this suburban lifestyle. No one would understand. Just the immediate family. Nobody else outside of our circle knew our circumstances.
At the time that she's talking about, she just goes and says, basically sticks her middle finger up to God. It was coinciding with her dad completely abandoning the family.
Yeah. Your pastor dad.
Our pastor dad.
Mm-hmm. So diagnosed wise, you diagnosed him with schizophrenia. So it became very, very just different. Like his eyes turned, honestly, they turned a little more black and there was just a different human there. It wasn't him, even though like what he typically was, wasn't my favorite really, you know, it wasn't really healthy. And so when that all happened, he ended up disappearing and he hasn't been back since I was 19 years old. And so I remember like Davey's like, how do you feel about that? Do you feel like abandoned, rejected, neglected? I'm like, no, it's just reality. I don't know. I couldn't even feel and process that. Now as a 40-year-old woman, things are actually coming up because I'm in safety. I'm not in fight or flight, right? And things will come. And I'm like, actually I was, but it's okay. And it's okay that I was, I don't want to be a victim, right? I didn't want to have victim mentality, but literally I was like, Christy, you can affirm that you were a victim and it is okay that you were abandoned. It's not pathetic. Like I used to be like, that's pathetic. Like, I don't want people to have pity on me. Honestly, when I walked down the aisle for a wedding, I told him, I go, let's elope. I don't want to walk down an aisle. I don't want people to see that I don't have a dad to walk me down the aisle.
She never validated that what she went through was really hard. She just kind of like put an armor on and went, and there are people that they'll either sit as a victim or they do the opposite and don't validate it.
Right.
And she was one of those who was like,
I'm fine. I'm capable. Good. I'm an adult. I have good life opportunities. And I just kept on just like whitewashing it, right?
How
and
is minimizing it that it's still, it hits your soul? When you just said that, it was like, it's still real.
Yeah,
it is.
You know,
I think the biggest thing, you know, you have your fears your whole life or your expectations of how your life is going to go, and it just never goes that way. And so, it goes back to processing. And I think a daughter, a son, whoever that is, they always need a father. They need their mother and their father. That's how God made it to be, right? And so we know we're lacking. And so there's something in us that wants a heaven, like our heavenly father and our earthly father, to just cherish us, right? Yeah. And so for me personally, I'm a very strong, independent like person that I don't know if I just did that on purpose just to like be like, I'm okay.
Yeah.
Or if it was like a defense mechanism, or if I just had to survive.
All of it.
I had to not be a statistic, right?
Oh, hey, before we dive into all of that, I just want to remind our listeners that our vision at Family Life is every home a godly home, and we need your help to get there. And when you become a Family Life partner, your monthly support makes that vision actually possible.
Yeah, you'll get access to exclusive updates and events and the chance to join our partners-only online community. But more than that, you're helping change the future of families. Mm. So the question is, will you come alongside us and alongside families in need?
And you can go to familylifetoday.com and read more about it and become a partner. Just click the donate button at the top. And again, you can go to familylifetoday.com.
So when he left, I was 19. So my sister was 20, 21. And when he left too, my mom was so used to, in a way, being taken care of.
Yeah.
She was 10 and a half, immediately gets married to him when she's like 19, 20. And so she was never on her own. So I broke my lease at my, you know, at my apartment for the, my at college. And I ended up living with her in her one bedroom apartment to help take care of her. Mm. But what I love about my mom is this. She didn't know how to raise us because she wasn't really raised by parents that long, if you think about it. She didn't have the tools. So she listened to Focus on the Family with Dr. James Dobson.
No, let's change that. She listened to Family Life Today with Dennis Rady. Yes.
I listened to Focus on the Family. It's like my like source of discipleship.
We love that was Focus discipleship. On the Family.
We do. And we were raised by them as well.
Yes.
It was awesome.
And she would always say, Christy, Dr. James Dobson says. And I was like, Mom, you tell me what you say, not Dr. James Dobson. But she was a woman of faith and steadfast faith and prayer. And so she, the only reason, I mean, again, sex, drugs, rock and roll. Like I remember just drinking and then smoking, and I would drive that way, and cops would follow me, and they would never take, like, I would never go to jail. And there was a covering. I never ended up, she goes, Christy, I felt like you're going to end up in a ditch. Mm. But all I did, she never told me stop doing this, whatever. She just prayed every single night on her knees, begging the Lord for him to capture my heart. And that's what ended up happening. In college, he met me right there, and someone was like, hey, you should come to this thing called Campus Outreach. It's this like Christmas conference. Crew. Sorry, guys. Gathering. You know,
we are sitting on the headquarters of Crew.
Yes, I'm
pretty
so
amazing,
sorry.
Actually.
Yes. Crew is great. Campus Outreach is one that, you know, met me, but it was neat. They had a Christmas conference, and they're like, you should come to this. And I remember going and just seeing joy on everyone's face. But at that point, the only thing that brought me joy was drinking a fifth of vodka, right?
You're escaping.
I was escaping. And I remember like, they're like, hey, how is this going? And I'm like, honestly, I don't understand why anyone's happy and not drunk.
Wow.
Isn't that a weird thought to think of? And so I remember they're like, well, has it happened yet? I'm like, I don't even know. Like, what is this? An exorcism? Like, what does it mean happen? They're like, well, it hasn't happened. We'll be praying that your heart gets soft. And I'm like, how do you soften a heart? It was a weird Christianese language for me that didn't make any sense. And so I remember that day, I just kept on praying. I'm like, Lord, whatever this means, please soften my heart. I surrender to whatever this is. But at this point, I feel messed up. I feel like if I had a white sheet, it was just bloodstained everywhere.
Total shame.
I mean, I just went into like the deep end. The perfectionist girl wasn't there anymore. And I was like, I can't come back from this. Like, how can I serve in a local church after this is the human I was for so long? And there was a song, a guy named Aaron Keyes, he sang the song, and he was like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl. Mm. For someone who needed to be strong for so many years, like, it was like, wait, I can just crawl. Like, Jesus, you're going to take all of this? And it just felt so deep of he, like, I will take all your burdens. You don't have to carry your mom anymore. You don't have to help her. You don't have to carry your whole family's abuse. All you have to do is just crawl to me and I got you. That was the most freeing message I ever heard. And I remember that night, it was New Year's Eve, and it just felt like how it, scripture says, you are a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. And the next morning, the girl looks at me and was like, it happened. I'm like, I don't know what you're meaning. Like, just back off. But I was like, all the temptations, and some people, like, they'll still be tempted, everything like that. Like, I had an eating disorder at that time, and I was trying so hard to stop. I was trying so hard to stop cussing, stop drinking, stop, you know, all these things. And out of nowhere, it just flipped. Like, I was a new creation. I didn't have any temptation. And my friends, I remember them asking me, they're like, Christy, like, I was like, do you think I'm weird? I was like, I feel weird right now. Do you think I'm weird? Because they saw me. I was like the girl that's like, we're going streaking. Who's following me? I was a mess. And they're like, we don't think you're weird, but we're weirded out. You are a totally different person. We don't feel judged by you. Don't feel, but you're just a totally different person. And I knew, I'm like, I'm following Jesus and we're in a relationship. And it's just been, again, hard ever since, but it's been a beautiful walk to walk it out with Jesus.
True.
And then.
Yeah. What's been hard ever since? What happened?
Yeah.
We have a friend who grew up in the hood. His mom was a prostitute and he lived with his grandma, and there was like 9 to 11 kids in one room, and they had a fight who got the bed that night. And what he says is this, he says, you know, I'm out of the hood now. So he's like a chaplain. He's like sharing Jesus to everybody. And he's like, but I still have the residue of the hood on me. And I think that's how the best way to explain it. It's like, you have a life before Christ. You have a lot of that damage and that, those building blocks of your life, the foundation. So you still have a little bit of that residue. And so again, you still will mess up. You still will sin. We're human, right? We still have our flesh. And, you know, as life went on, some of my little yeses became big yeses, and I ended up getting pregnant out of wedlock. And so I ended up marrying the father of my child. I never wanted the story of divorce. I never wanted the story and the stigma of being the single mom walking into a church. And so, you know, one of our stories is that how we met is I was a single mom walking into this church. And I just...
The very thing that she always told the Lord, I don't want to be this.
Yes. And so for me, you know, that was a piece of my story of, you know, some of it was self and some of it was also just other things outside of my control, right? And then you think about, you know, still not having a dad in the picture, and you think, you know, again, just trying to follow Jesus and just so many things. And again, there's just so many things, like, personally, I can't share, you know, on air, but just having to go through just trauma after trauma every single year. So by the time I meet Davey, I had agreement with the Lord, and I thought it was me and the Lord's agreement, not just my agreement. But I said, I'm not going to get married.
How it's like, Lord, we have an agreement, right?
Yes. I'm just going to be single. And I actually saw this excerpt from, you know, Amanda, and she just used to journal, and she just gave her life. And I remember just being like, I'm just going to journal again and just give my life. And that is it. I'm going to serve you. So when I was going to Davey's church, I actually just went to the back, like the far corner possible to serve and kids, where no one could see me. And I could just be serving for his kingdom and his glory.
Sit in the back row.
I would sit in the back row. I would try to avoid him like the plague.
One day in a CrossFit gym that I'm working out at, she walks into the CrossFit gym, and I didn't know her. She knew me. She knew of me, but we had never met. And it was the moment that my heart woke up. This
is a few years.
What do you mean?
Ago?
This would have been over, well, right about a year after Amanda passed away.
Okay.
Yeah. I was, I didn't think that my heart could love again. And just thought, you know, like, you got one love story. That's it. Like, there's no way I could love anybody like I loved Amanda. But I was praying, God, if you were to ever bring me another wife. I was 30, so I figured I'd probably get married again. So can I make some requests? Could she love you more than she loves me? Could she love me too? That'd be great. and then love Weston as if he were her own, and love Amanda. Because I knew that my ministry assignment had shifted. My purpose in life had shifted. I knew I was going to be carrying Amanda's story with me and ministering to other people out of that. this person would need to sit on the front row, hear me preach on that and champion it, not just tolerate it.
And hear Amanda's story over and over.
Exactly. Yeah. And have the confidence, her own inner confidence in who she was in Christ, that she didn't feel like she was.
Not everybody can do that. Shoes. Yeah. A lot of people can't do
that. So it felt impossible.
Yeah.
Honestly, I felt very helpless and hopeless about it. Here she walks into the gym. My heart wakes up. I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't even know what I don't know this girl, but for some reason something happened.
No, he felt that. What I felt was, I know him. This is actually the man that I've been praying for, right? You know, and shoot, he's a pastor and he's staring at me. He has no integrity. I mean, this is literally all the thoughts going in my head. I'm like, oh, I have to avoid him. Like, this is so weird.
He's a creeper.
It's a creeper. He was a creeper in my mind.
She started attending the church I was pastoring. There she was, single mom, walking into the church, started serving. I caught my attention. I'm like, here's like, I could see her fervency for the Lord. I was like, oh my gosh, she really loves the Lord. But I would try to like get in her way in the atrium after I was done preaching.
So many single girls were doing that though. And I was like, oh, this is, I don't get this. I didn't understand
they're all going after him, which made you be like, oh yeah, no.
Oh, 0%.
The funny thing about it is like, there were a lot of single women that came and single moms started coming to the church. They all have an agenda. The one that doesn't want to have anything to do with me, I'm like, I don't talk to you.
Laser focused. Yes.
So it was one night in the CrossFit gym. Actually, as I was finishing up the manuscript of the book, going, God, what is the redemption story? Like, I know you've healed my heart so much, but how do I convey to a reader as if I have to defend God that like you're restoring my story? And I walk in and she's walking out and I'm like, this is my moment. I gotta talk to her.
No words have been spoken yet.
Not really. I mean, I would not put a hat on. I would look down. I'm like, no one talked to me in the gym. I just hung out with my girlfriends. So yeah, it was nothing really.
Yeah. There wasn't a whole lot of conversation. She was avoidant.
This is like months.
It was months. And so I always say I cornered her very pastorally. And I'm like, what's your story? You've been coming to my church for 3-4 months. I don't know anything about you. Right. Our church was small enough that I knew everybody. I knew their stories. And, she starts to tell me everything, all the stuff she tells me pretty much all the stuff she's laid out to you, trying to scare me away.
Did you think it would scare him away?
100%. What pastor would want a girl who was so messed up, right? You know, I'm like, I'm baggage. You don't want baggage. Like, and so I always tell my girlfriends, they're like, one of them was 24 and she's like, I have so much in life. No one's going to want me. I was like, girl, I was 31, had a child and had a lot of sin and baggage.
You're
and
like Mary Magdalene and the woman at the well.
That's what I felt like.
Combined.
Yes. And here's this pastor who's interested in me. I'm like, I promise you there's a guy out there for you.
So she tells me all this. All I keen in on is the fact that she's done missions work after college. And I'm like,
focus on the wrong thing. Focused on the wrong thing.
Even
so you're telling me there's a chance. So then, she was serving our inner city ministry. I'm like, oh, is that why you're serving? She said, well, my parents live in that neighborhood. My stepdad and my mom. I'm like, that's a really dangerous neighborhood. They like by choice. Yeah, that's part of their ministry there. I said, well, the reason we started it is because of Amanda and how she died. And she goes, Davey, I know more about your story than what you're comfortable with. And that's when she drops on me. My stepdad is the chaplain that ministers to these three men. And I'm like, what?
You should have saw his eyes. They were so glossed over. And like now knowing him, I'm like, this makes sense. He just like will process. And he sat there and he goes, you want to go get dinner? I'm thinking, no.
I was like, on one hand, I got to go get to the bottom of this. I can't reconcile how this woman, first of all, how you made me feel, right? When I thought I could never feel anything again for anybody. And then now you're that close to my story.
What did you think of today?
I'm more tired than I was yesterday. I mean, the story just keeps going.
It's so compelling. And you're like, how could you have walked through this? And look what God has done.
That's what I feel. I mean, I feel the darkness because it's trauma. I mean, what happened is hard, yet there's so much light because Jesus is in that valley and he's in our valley and he's bringing his presence to the very darkness in our souls. So it's their story, but I think it's all of our stories. And that's why I think their book's worth picking up. It's called Nothing Is Wasted. We've got it at familylifetoday.com. You can click on the link in the show notes. And I think when you read the story, you feel their pain, but you feel the triumph of Jesus'
victory.
It's
the hope of the gospel.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
If you missed yesterday, you can watch it on YouTube or listen wherever you get your podcast. Just search Family Life. That's one word, Family Life Today.
And by the way, you know, if you've never done it, download the Family Life app. You get everything Family Life on the Family Life app. It's where I listen to ourselves on that podcast.
Do you listen to yourself?
I listen to you mostly.
Family Life Today is a donor-supported ministry of Family Life, a crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.